Right, it's just reloading now. All right, let's give that another go. Ah, looks like we're recording already. Okay, so we've started. Okay, welcome everybody. This is Gideon Chalwick, and I've got on the line with me Yaro Starek as well. This is our next call for Blog Mastermind, Become a Blogger, and Membership Site Mastermind as well. It's going to be an exciting call once again where we get you to ask us any question you've got about blogging or membership sites or making money online or social media or anything that you think is relevant to this call. Just a few things to get this out of the way. We do have a chat room. If you go to the entrepreneurs-journey.com/teleconferences page, there's a link there for our live chat that you can get access to and interact with each other. Now, just keep in mind that Yaro and myself, we normally give, we listen to questions from the live call first, and if there's time, we may look at the questions inside the chat room. But so far, we haven't had much time to look at the chat room, so we just use that as an area to communicate with you, like sending links and that sort of thing. But feel free to have a chat to each other there. Now, this call is being recorded, so if you want to raise your hand and ask a question, just keep that in mind so other people will be able to listen to this call as well at a later date. So feel free to use your normal name if you want to, but if you don't want to, you can use a different name or no name at all. With that out of the way, was there anything else? Let me welcome Yaro as well to the call. How are you doing, Yaro?
Thanks, Gideon. I think you may have done that already, but that's good. just for a reminder, I don't know if you saw my little message, there are about 5 questions from the forum. So if we want to interweave those with the live questions as a suggested last call, I'll let you be in charge of that.
Yaro, you were just breaking up on my side. Can you just repeat that again?
Sure. Just saying that there are 5 questions that some of our members have left in the private forums. So what we can do, as suggested last week, is just to interweave the questions into the live call. So maybe one live question, then one forum question, until we've just finished all the forum questions.
Good idea. All right. So let me just make sure that I'm on the right page for... actually, Yaro, if you could send me the... just the link to the forum, that'd be great, yeah. And the Skype message. And just make sure you send it to the right account. And then we might as well get started with some calls, unless there was anything else that you wanted to announce before we get started, Yaro?
I don't think so. I just will briefly say the membership site Mastermind, obviously we're right in the middle of the opening week for the second run, the last run on 2009. There is a slim chance there's a couple of new people on this call, but I probably isn't. This would be next month there'll be a few extra calls for those students, but I'll do my welcomes to them then. But if in case anyone snuck through, just see how we're going and listen to the instructions, and you're welcome to ask any questions. Don't worry if you are a little bit confused by what's going on. We can respond to anything that you have issues with.
Very cool. All right, so we're going to get into the calls next. And so if you want to ask a question, I haven't activated it yet, but the way that it works, if we've got a control panel here, and for you to ask a question, all you've got to do is press the star key and then the 9 key on your keypad, either your Skype phone, your Skype keypad or your phone keypad. So I'm going to activate that now, and then we'll get into the straight question. All right. Okay, so hand raising is on right now. So if you want to ask a question, just press star and then 9 on your keypad. All right, got a few questions already. Here we go.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Gideon, Yaro. This is Jasmine. I have 2 questions. The first one is, Yaro, I know that you said the affiliate programs are one of your best ways to monetize a blog. I know you listed several ways, but that one has been one of the main ways you made your revenue. But I'm in an industry where affiliate programs average 10% and the highest is 15%. And there's no such thing as the recurring type structure that you're under with some affiliates in your industry where it's 50% and you still get money through the lifetime. So how would you suggest someone with, you know, these 10% affiliate programs, and some of the products are, you know, $10, $20 products, and they're not recurring, what are better monetization strategies?
Yep. The first thing when you say that to me, it always triggers a thought about opportunity. So I don't know if this makes sense given your market, since I don't know what it is. But if you have a situation where there are pretty much very pathetic affiliate programs like that, it's a good opportunity to potentially create your own product and then offer it under a 50% affiliate commission system. So all the other people in the marketplace are going to go, wow, that's incredible, and support your product. So if you think that makes sense, as in, you know, there's a lot of other potential affiliates that could be under you, and you can actually, you feel yourself, you could create a product and make it profitable by under a 50% system, then I'd almost be, you know, running as fast as I can to that, just because it's clear that the rest of the marketplace hasn't, figured that out yet. They will eventually, assuming the market can sustain that sort of pricing structure. That being said, if that's, you know, might take a little time, takes a while to create a product, you might look to, first of all, you shouldn't be afraid to test. Even a 15% commission, if you can do high volume, can be quite effective. Obviously, the Amazon affiliate program is, for a long time, it's been about 5% for most book sales. And while that's pretty useless for something like me, when I don't have, you know, I might make 10 or 20 sales for most affiliate promotions, some people really can do a lot of volume. And if, you know, you can shift 100 books, even at 5%, you're looking at some potentially big payday. So it can be worth testing. You just might need significant traffic or a significant conversion rate to make it work. The other options are the ones that are always there. The advertising on your website, doing paid reviews, just getting creative with the types of sponsoring that you offer. If you want to see a good example of that, shoemoney.com is doing some pretty amazing things with the way he's basically changing his entire background of his blog as a potential space for sponsors to promote his site. So there's all kinds of things you can play around with, but it is a case of testing. So, you know, all these things may or may not work. Generally, you will make the most money with your own product, though. So if you see that as an avenue you can pursue, I'd be moving towards that as fast as you can.
And basically on your website now with the affiliates, I'm assuming you really can't tell a difference as far as the end user between what an advertiser looks like and what an affiliate looks like, because it's still just a banner?
That's a good assumption in most cases. In my case, all the banners are actually paid sponsors. There's no affiliates there who I'm just putting up a banner for an affiliate promotion. So what I do for affiliate promotions, which I definitely talk about in Blog Mastermind and in Become a Blogger Premium, is to write a review of a product and then put an email in the follow-up sequence of the newsletter, the email newsletter, or send a broadcast message to the email newsletter that directs the traffic to the review in the blog. And if you put it up in the follow-up sequence, every person who joins your newsletter will eventually get that email and will eventually get directed to the review in your blog. And it's the review in your blog that has the affiliate links. So that's a system I've used for 4 or 5 years now to sell affiliate products. Most of the money I actually make in affiliate promotions is via email. So you do want to make the email newsletter a big part of what you're doing, what your traffic growth is about, because, you know, a blog is good. You can make some good money doing reviews, but the email allows you to specifically send traffic to that review once you finish writing it. So it's worth having that advantage.
Okay. My second question is, in terms of the membership site, what I'm seeing is that maybe in some other industries, a lot of people have the term membership on their website, and when it says join, it's you join for free and you're just a part of a community. You might could put up your own blog. In a sense, it's almost you join and there's a few more perks and maybe almost an internal social networking part. So what I'm thinking is that the term membership site is not used, it's used loosely in some cases to where your membership site with Become a Blogger is more so a teaching program over time, where other websites, it seems like they're using the term join and become a member, and that's more so of a way to capture email addresses and maybe give you, you know, a few more free things, but you're not joining, getting some type of monthly program.
Correct, and your answer, what you said about it being a loose phrase, it certainly is. Some people will say a membership site is only a site that has a program that just keeps charging money month after month for as long as a person wants to remain a member. So, every product that I've got is not a membership site under that strict definition, because my programs usually finish after 6 months. Some people will argue that paying for a service, like, for example, web hosting or your email autoresponder with Aweber, because you keep paying a monthly fee to maintain that service, they might call that a membership site too. But I think for most people, they consider it a place where you've got some kind of special login where you get access to something and you're paying a regular fee, or even not paying a regular fee. You know, you might even call Facebook a membership site, or, you know, MySpace or something like that, where you get access to a community in return for becoming a member. But yeah, it's a loose term.
Okay, so how do you, in a sense, what's your philosophy on a lot of websites who have, you know, free membership sites versus trying to get people to pay?
Well, there's no philosophy. I mean, it's part of a strategy. Are you trying to make money? I wouldn't get too hung up on the semantics of how they label what they offer. Understand that the word member is usually an effective word for, you know, any person who's a part of your community. It's better than calling them a customer, and can even be better than calling them a student, because there's a sense of superiority if they're a student and you're a teacher. So member is often a good word to use. But listen, is there a particular reason why you've got this question? Is something like you trying to clarify someone else's options or what you're going to do yourself?
Well, yeah, the only reason I'm asking is because if certain industries use the term membership site and then all the membership sites are free, you put your, like I said, your industry may not be that way, but if you're in one that's like that, it may pose some issues for people to want to join you versus the entry where everyone's using the word membership and all membership is free. That's
gotcha,
the only reason.
Gotcha.
Not that I
no,
can.
I understand that. Yeah, I wouldn't let that worry you too much. What I find with any kind of assumptions you have about what everyone else is doing in your industry, usually it won't have as big an impact as you think it will. So you can pretty much do your own thing. If you're going to charge money, all you have to do is justify why. And your sales copy, your promotions, all that will be the justification you give for charging money for something. If you think it's really significant, as in every single person in your industry knows about these other free membership sites, then you are going to need to address that as a concern. It's a constraint. It's a blockage that people might have when you promote what you're offering. So you're just going to need to clearly distinguish what it is that's different about what you do. But most of the time, your industry is so big that a lot of people won't even be aware of the other offers available. So when they come and see yours, they're just making a decision based on what's in front of their face. They're not considering anything else. So all you have to do is convince them to buy what you've got on offer.
Okay. But thanks so much.
No problem.
Okay.
The line is breaking up a little bit on my side. Jasmine, has the line been breaking up on your side as well, just out of interest?
No, I hear both of you fine.
Okay, so it must be something on my side of the fence. That's good to know. All right, so if I do disappear every now and then, I apologize for that.
You actually sound good to me, so Gideon, I think it's probably only your hearing that's not your personal hearing, your computer's hearing.
Okay, well, that's cool then. Just noticed that Dallas asked if her hand was up in the in the room. It's not. I noticed that it was up before, but it's not anymore. So we may need to reset the hand-raising thing and get people to ask or raise their hands again. But first, let's move on to the first question inside the forum area. Okay, so first question here is from Maggie, and she's saying, thanks, guys, for answering my question today. Actually, that's not a question. She's just saying thanks, basically. All right. No worries, Maggie.
Anytime. Welcome, Maggie.
Okay. Next one from MJL Editor. I've been developing content for my blog, golfgirls.com with a U, a resource site for women golfers. I love the game, but I am not an expert and would never use myself in a video to teach the game. There are so many products and video training CDs. It would be foolish to try and compete with that product. So I'm feeling stuck. Would appreciate any brainstorming ideas from you or others in this forum. What could I offer as a product or service that would compel someone to join my membership site? Appreciate any ideas at all. Thanks in advance, Pat. Okay, I'll have a quick go at this and I'll hand it over to Yara as well to say a few things. My first take on this is, Pat, that yes, you do not have to create the videos yourself. That doesn't mean that it's a problem. You can always get someone else to create the videos or the content for you. What I do recommend if you want to create some content and you're not comfortable with creating it, you're not the expert in it yourself, find an expert that's also good at teaching stuff. Really good examples with what I'm doing with JJ the Magician at the moment at freemagiclife.com. I have an interest in magic, but I'm not a magician myself. I wouldn't be able to teach it, but JJ is an absolute expert in it. So he doesn't necessarily know much about the internet marketing world, but he knows a lot about magic, and he's very, very good at teaching it too. So I'm getting him to basically be the front of the business, the front face of the business, and he's also the teacher for the course content. So that's working out really, really well. And then in the background, because I have this knowledge of internet marketing and setting up membership sites and getting traffic and all this sort of stuff, I can do that side of the business. So that's one thing you could do. Of course, you're saying that there are so many other products and video training CDs around. That's a good sign. It's not a bad thing. It actually means that there's a lot of potential for other potential affiliates that could be promoting your product for you. Remember that people that are in your niche in the internet marketing world, they're not your competition. They're actually your potential joint venture partners, especially if you can convince them to help promote your stuff. Because remember that whenever they create their own product, they put their own spin on it, their own personality, their own twists and turns, and you can do exactly the same thing with your own personality, with your own twists and turns, with your own experience, and with your own in-depth knowledge of the subject area. So don't feel that is a drawback, that there are so many other things out there. See that as an actual a good thing. I mean, if there wasn't any competition, then I'd get worried, because it probably means that no one's interested in that niche. But just the fact that there are so many different things out there already is a great sign. It means that there are people who want to pay money for it. It means that the market is there and it's big, and there's a lot of other people creating products for that market. So your chance of success is definitely increased in that area. And all you've got to do is figure out a way to make your product stand out as being unique. And there's a number of different angles you can take there. One of it just being putting your own spin and your own personality and your own experience on it. And then approaching these other people as your potential joint venture partners. So there's some of my ideas. Yara, I'm not sure if you want to add a few more things to that.
I just want to say the domain name for any girls listening to this call who might be into golf. It's golf, G-O-L-F, girls, G-U-R-L-S.com. And I think you pretty much nailed most of the suggestions. I would also think if there are so many other products out there, you could be selling them as an affiliate too if you don't want to create your own product. I'm not sure if you quite squeeze that one in there, Gideon. So, yeah, I think that golf is huge. It'll always be a very profitable niche. You're always going to face quite a lot of competition. So you can either be a promoter of other people's products, you can be a creator of your own products, or you could do both. And those options are there. So it's up to you which ones you go after.
Very cool. All right, I'm just going to reset the caller hand raising function and then get you to try and raise your hands again. So just give me a few seconds. Okay, I've just reset the control panel. If you want to ask a question, just press the star key and then the 9 key on your keypad, and I should be able to see it over here, and we'll let you ask your question. Here we go.
Okay, it's Darla. How are you doing?
Hey, Darla.
So thank you for resetting. It was a problem. I had a problem with the Skype connection. You were sounding like you were underwater.
Interesting. I'm getting a little bit like that too on my side.
Yeah,
so
it's like thank you. Yeah. Same last time. I sounded like going underwater when you were answering my question last time. Anyway, this time I think it's an easy question. I stumbled over this affiliate theme actually off of thing in the sidebar of Yarrow's blog, and I started to check it out, and when I look at the examples, it looks like it's a site just to promote affiliate reviews. Is this like a regular WordPress theme, or is it something you put on a site to just do affiliate reviews, or does it have both purposes? Because I couldn't find it. Like the examples I have, just like, you know, it's Ipsum Lorem and all the rest of it, and it's kind of it looks like affiliate reviews with nothing else. And just wondering if you can sort of suggest any good sites with the affiliate theme on it, so I could take a look at it, see if it could be used on the test site.
You're just looking for demos of the affiliate theme? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, any sites that actually use it you like, so I can take a look and see how it's used in practice.
I'd actually go to the Unique Blog Designs page where they sell the affiliate theme and find examples.
I wasn't very happy with them, Yara. Because I didn't like the. Maybe we can do it through the forum. Then I can write the comment and we can take it offline. But I was really confused about the affiliate theme. It's a regular WordPress theme, is it? You could use it for a blog, or could you just use it as a site to just promote affiliates?
I understand what you're talking about. Affiliate theme, it is like Thesis, a similar sort of setup where it lets you control certain aspects of the blog through a backend that basically just adds more layers of control than what you get by default. So, you know, you can put different things in different places. It doesn't have the degree of control that Thesis does, but what it does focus on is making it really easy to set up pages that are specifically designed for promoting affiliate products. So you'll find it comes with lots of templates that you can choose for default product categories. I think they cover things like the dating niche and the health niche. And basically you can just choose that theme, apply it to the affiliate theme content system, and then just fill in the details in the sections, the header, the footer, et cetera, and then start pumping through reviews of affiliate products into the blog itself. That being said, you can use affiliate theme as a stock standard blog theme without necessarily having anything to do with affiliate marketing. It's just a case of, do you need the easier way to control the back end? And I played with it actually, because when I wrote a review of it and had a play around with the back end, it wasn't something that I'd use, because I don't want to deal with any of the tech of my blog anymore, because I just find it takes too much time. But I did find it easier to get going than Thesis, simply because it didn't have as many options to control. Thesis has tons of options, which makes it more powerful, but of course the learning curve is slightly greater and you do need to be slightly more technical. But you're going to get more control. Affiliate theme, you could control certain things really well, sidebar content, header content, but you can't do much more than that. So I haven't played with it, but I mean, what's the problem you're trying to solve?
Well, I wasn't trying to solve a problem. I just saw it and I thought, well, this looks interesting. Is it something? I wasn't quite sure what it was. I'm very happy with the thesis team, actually, so I'm just going to stay with that, I think.
You're probably distracted by a shiny object here, Darla. You probably should forget about it and keep playing.
That's true. We girls get distracted by shiny objects all the time.
No, we boys do too, don't worry.
I was just wondering what comments you had, and that's interesting.
Yeah, you know what I like it for? I like it for the main reason it was created, to set up very quickly affiliate sites. You know, if I had a product I liked in ClickBank and I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to promote it, but I didn't have a blog already in that niche, I just set up affiliate theme. I just write reviews in that category and just put it straight through that theme. And, you know, you could do it in 10 or 20 different themes, different niches, and potentially, you know, make some money. And that's a strategy that a lot of bloggers use. You know, the multiple niches, make $100 a month from each blog, and then you're making a couple thousand dollars. It's not the model I follow, but for those.
You there?
I'm still here. Can you? I can't hear Yarrow anymore.
I lost Yarrow there.
Okay, I'll just send him a quick message that we've lost him.
Yeah, he just went quiet.
I'm not quite sure where he's gone, but I've just sent him a message. So
he's gone off completely.
Yeah.
Anyway, and with respect to that, you know, I guess it's something. If someone was going to look at niche marketing and follow the model of like just experimenting to see if there's something in a particular niche, you can set up some test sites. Is that the way it could be used?
Yeah, I think what Yara was just driving towards is that affiliate theme could be a good theme for that particular purpose. If you just want to quickly set up something and use that mainly as an affiliate type of promotion website. But as you say, you know, it's horses for courses. Affiliate theme is a great theme. It can be used for non-affiliate promotion type blogs as well. But it depends on what exactly you're trying to achieve.
So I won't get distracted by a shiny object. I'll get on with it.
Yeah, basically, if you've got something that works.
Yes, I do, and I'm happy with that. So thank you for your comment.
Yeah, I think I've got Yarrow back online again.
Okay, Yarrow, thanks a lot.
Yarrow, did you want to? Are you back again, Yarrow?
No, yeah, I'm back, and that's Darla's all good. I think my internet just died on me.
I think I'm good now, Yarrow. Thanks a lot. Okay.
No problem.
Yeah. Bye. Good night.
Thanks,
Darla. Good morning. Bye.
Good morning.
Bye.
Good morning.
Okay. Moving on to the next question inside the forum. Okay. This next one is from Zolt. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Very cool name. Hi, Yarrow and Gideon. This is Zolt from Hungary. I'm a BAB premium graduate, and I must say you put together a really great training there. I enjoyed it a lot. Thanks, guys. The questions. All right. Since I'm a psychologist and my main interest lies in positive and health psychology, I thought it would be a nice to start a website on how to feel happier, be more optimistic, stay healthy, etc. Mostly practical advice with some theoretical background. My question is, do you think it is a profitable niche? Are people actually willing to pay for this kind of information? Okay, so let me just see if the rest. Well, I'll let's just answer that first and then see if there are anything else we need to add to that question. So is it a profitable niche and are people actually willing to pay money for this kind of information? Well, I think the first thing you need to find out, Zolt, is you know, whether there are other people in your niche who are making money for those kind of products. If you can find evidence of that, then that's a very quick answer to tell you that whether it's a profitable niche or not. That's one way to find out. That can be quite tricky because it's you know, you may be thinking about quite a different kind of product compared to what everyone else has on the market, and so that way it'd be very difficult to know whether it's going to be profitable. So the next thing to do, or one other option to look at, is to simply test it in a small scale and see what kind of a response you get. I mean, that's what's really great about the whole logging way of doing things, is you can test your ideas. It takes time, but it doesn't cost you anything. So you can test it on a pretty small scale, see if you get a response from people. And, you know, if there's no response, then you know that your niche is not very active, or that you maybe not doing something right. You're not giving the right kind of content, or you're not getting your content in front of the people who may be interested in your niche. But I think first step is to really just look for other products and services out there on the internet and see what they're doing. You know, see if they're actually selling stuff, see if they're making any money from it. And that'll give you an idea of whether people are willing to pay for that kind of information. I'm going to hand it over quickly to Yaro if he wants to add anything to that, while I just read the rest of the paragraph. Just want to make sure we haven't missed anything.
Zolt. I know for sure that personal development is a profitable niche. If you go check out stevepavlina.com, he's a great example of a blogger who's making huge amounts of money that doesn't really do anything other than write articles about this very in-depth subject. That being said, he is writing great content and has a real powerful insight into the subject because he studied it for years. He's a huge practitioner, does lots of experiments on himself, and you know, is a great case study of how to blog effectively on a niche. I don't know if you say something like how to be happy is specific enough. If you were to come up, come up with a very specific phrase to define the problem a person has, happiness is very broad. So the good thing about internet marketing is you might cover the subject of happiness, but you're going to need to break that down into all the very unique components that go into it. And it might even make more sense for you to pick a slightly more specific niche because the competition in personal development is quite high. I only say that I don't know the strength of your experience and you know, how much content you have in that area. If you're very confident that you really can provide some unique value in this area, then you could go for the top level subject of personal development. If you find that doesn't gain traction, you might need to just go with how to fix one aspect, like you know, how to eliminate depression, how to stop anxiety. Just pick, you know, specific problems like that and focus on that. That's it for the first part. Gideon, I might let you read out the second part of the question.
Sounds good. All right, so there's not much else. Let's move on to the second question. Should I target the local Hungarian market, or should I go worldwide? So that's the emphasis of the question. It depends how big the Hungarian market is. That would be the short answer. If it's a big market, then you could do very, very well indeed, especially if you target your keywords towards the Hungarian market. And also, I mean, even if you do it in your own language, that could be very, very successful if you're the only person doing it in that particular niche. The main question then is just whether that's a big enough market. And the only real way to do that is to test it and to find out what kind of a response you're getting from the market. Now, this is not necessarily an easy thing to do, because it can be quite time consuming, and you know, it could take you 2 to 3 months to really know whether your blog's getting picked up in the search engines for those keywords in your language. But look, with the information that we're teaching inside our courses, if you apply that to English already, you can get some pretty good success. But if you apply that to your own language and your own country, your information is just going to be so much more targeted, and it'll be a lot easier to get picked up in the search engines and to rank well for those keywords. So in a way, you'll have a lot less competition when you focus on only your country and your own language. And I mean, if you can own that space on the internet in your own language, that can be a very, very powerful position to be in, given, of course, that the market's big enough to sustain itself and to provide you with a good enough income.
I've noticed that Zolt has commented that the population is only 10 million in Hungary, or of Hungarian-speaking people. which is interesting. I listened to a podcast recently about a fellow who makes a stupid amount of money, basically selling one ebook on how to get abs, strong abs, you know, six pack. And he's been making lots of money, like $2 or $3 million a year, selling that to the English market and doing very well, but then wanted to take it into foreign languages and entered the French market, the Spanish market, and pretty much picked all the greatest population marketplaces there are. And I think the sort of minimum was about 20 million was what he went for. So it was basically French, Spanish, Japanese. I can't remember what the other were. There was a few, I think Russian may have been there as well. So it was, there was a criteria they had of whether this could work, but this was for selling an ebook. The difference here, I think, you know, population of 10 million, especially what you're saying about the average net income is about $600 a month. They may not be buying a lot online. I think if you have to basically decide to do one of two things here. You either enter the local market and try and become, as Gideon said, the leading authority on this subject in Hungary, in the Hungarian language. And that could potentially be a very lucrative option, especially if you can get some mainstream coverage there. You might get some newspapers, some magazines, even television, radio, and really promote yourself as the expert in your country and dominate. And if you dominate, then you'll have to start thinking about, you know, monetization options like selling your own book, doing speaking from the stage, maybe having an online membership site. All those sort of things are options, but you will be limiting yourself to a smaller market. But like you said, you have a great opportunity to become the leader, which can be very powerful once you get there. If you go to English market, I think you face a big challenge if you go for the top level category of personal development. Just have a look at what Steve Pavlina is doing for an example of how much work is required and what level of content quality you need. And I'd say if you do go English, you'd need to choose a specific sub niche of the personal development category with which you could then become a dominant player in English. But reading your forum posts, Zolt, you actually have good English. So I think you definitely have both options available to you. It's up to you which one you think feels right. That's it from me.
Cool. Thanks, Jaro.
You're eating.
Zolt, that's one. I'm eating something. My mouth full of food. No, just want to double up on that as well. Zolt, your English is very good, and then with your correspondence through to me inside the members area and also on my other blog, you know, I would have thought your first language is English. So you're a very good English writer. So I just wanted to say that as well. All right. Moving on to the next question inside the live question. All right. Here we go. Just taking its time. I'll have to reload my web controls again. Apologies for this. It's, you can give it a go if it's active on your side, Yara.
Yep, let me try.
It's my turn, huh?
Hi, Gunner. Go ahead.
I'm here. How's everyone doing?
We're well, good. Thank you.
Fantastic. Yara and Gideon, thanks again. And yeah, right. I did sign up for your, I guess it's the creative membership site course. So
right.
I'm looking forward to that. That should be fun.
Good stuff.
It's one is about cruising altitude, and Jules in the site here has actually given me some tips. And the site that cruisinaltitude.com.
Have you posted that in the chat room?
Yeah, I'm going to post it again.
Okay, I can see. Yeah, cruisinaltitude.com.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm getting about 65 unique today, but I'm not getting. I think I have since Sunday. I have only 2 signups for my e-course. I was trying to think of what can I do. And one of the things I did, that pop-up that comes in after 5 seconds, I put in, like, you know, what happens on day 1 through 7. I just recently added that today. I'm not sure if that's going to increase the signups, but in terms of the piece that's on the right-hand side of the page, I've only gotten actually one person to sign up from that. I'm not sure what I can do to make it a little more enticing. Jules on the chat gave me some pretty good pointers, so I'm going to try those. But I don't know if yourself or Gideon have any ideas.
Okay, I'm assuming we're just talking about increasing the number of opt-ins to your newsletter or your mini course.
Exactly.
Okay, Gideon, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I'm just looking at your pop-up window here. A few things you can do to optimize that. One is to really think carefully about the words that you're using on your pop-up. Think about, you know, put yourself in the shoes of the person who comes to your website for the first time. Imagine someone who comes to your website. They don't know you from a bar of soap. They don't know what your website is about. And they're your first ever visitor. And think about that one single person. And also think about that person as the kind of person who would be interested in your information. And then think about how can you structure this message to really talk to that one person and to get them excited enough to give you their first name and email address. Remember that they're paying with their first name and email address, and the more the time goes by, the harder and harder it becomes for people to give away their personal details because they don't want to get spammed. You know, people's inboxes are just so full now with all these crazy internet marketers around. And, you know, so you've got to think, you know, what's in it for this person? What's he going to get? And how can you convince him that he's going to get something really, really cool when he signs up? So the more valuable you can make the appearance of this to that person who's going to be signing up for this, the better. And you can do that with words, the power of words. And so, for example, I like the headline that you have, I will teach you to travel in 7 days. The only trouble is that it's very general. Travel where, travel with what, what's the benefit for me? You know, when you write these things, think very carefully about the emotional benefit that the user, that the person signing up is going to get. And then sprinkle that throughout your words that you're using. For example, the first sentence that you have after your headline, you know, get your free 7-day email mini course on how to travel efficiently. That's already better. Maybe you can modify that even more and say, sign up for 7-day email mini course that shows you how to travel efficiently and then think about what is your main emotional benefit that people are getting out of this this newsletter. And then chuck that straight in your headline. That's what people read. They read the headline. And if there are bullet points, they might read them. And if there's a PS, they might read that as well. So some people will read everything, but, you know, those are the main things. So that's it for your headline. It's very important to really bring across that emotional benefit that people will get when they sign up. And then the same thing for your bullet points. I really like that you have them there. That's really, really cool. All you need to do there is to, at the way, I haven't looked at this in depth, but if I look at them just quickly, what it shows me is that you're talking essentially about the features of the mini course, which is great. And now all you've got to do is think about how can you add to that or change those features into emotional benefits for the person signing up. So, for example, day 2, setting up alerts and notifications. For any of these things, if I can ask the question, so what, afterwards, then it's a feature, and then you need to change it and modify it so that you can have a benefit in there as well. So, for example, day 2, you could say, setting up alerts and notifications so that you'll never be late again and you'll never have to stress again to be on time for your flight. So then there's an emotional benefit in there.
Okay.
So go through all of those. If you can ask the question, so what, then you know it's just a feature and you need to either add to it or change it so that you can bring through that emotional benefit. What else is there? I think you should get an increase with something like this in any case. We doubled our opt-in rate basically for the Free Magic Live blog when we did this. For that one, we actually used video. We had a little video there that tells people what they're signing up for. The trouble with that is that it doesn't work on all browsers, but for the ones that do work on it, it works very well. so that's something else you can consider too. I think that's it from me.
Okay. Thank you. Good deal. Did you think of anything, Yaro?
Yeah, Gideon's really hammered you on the copywriting of that opt-in. I think you've definitely got some avenues there to improve it. I was just opening up while you guys were talking a few of the opt-ins. I was trying to get the pop-up windows to show up on some other blogs that I know of. I've always found basically stealing other people's ideas is one of the best ways to get results. So Darren Rouse runs a very popular digital photography blog. It's at digital-photography-school.com.
Okay.
And I remember he was one of the first to test the pop-up on this site, and it I think it quadrupled or something ridiculous, his opt-ins. And I managed to get the pop-up to load. Very simple. It's basically a picture of a camera and then three dot points. There's a heading that basically says Digital Photography School, DPS offers a free weekly newsletter with three dot points. Very simple. Now, I think the copy could actually be improved on this, but the fact that it's a pop-up with a picture, it would be already having a good result. So and you might want to definitely consider having something like that. But as Gideon said, focus on the benefits. A really benefit-driven headline will increase your opt-in rate. And like you said, assume they know nothing. This really needs to be, what is their core motivational desire that you can solve on your newsletter, and put that in the headline. I'm having a look at one of our other students, Frances Kerr. She has one at highonhealth.org. If you wait for a few seconds, it'll load. And her headline is, "Are you still suffering from acne? ? Join my free acne cure online course." And then there's some dot points as a picture of the mini course there. And, I don't know what her opt-in rate is at the moment, but she was doing at least 30 opt-ins a day about a year ago, so I'm sure it's better now. Shumani used to have one. I was trying to get his to load, but it won't pop up for me. John Chow obviously used to have one as well. And like you said, Gideon, he has one on Free Magic Live with a video there. Long story short, a pop-up, although intrusive, will definitely increase and your opt-in rate, and try and make it one of those pop-ups that aren't blocked by the pop-up blocker. AWeber will create one of those for you. Actually probably going to start testing one of those on my own blog once I finished the membership site mastermind course. I'd like to increase my opt-ins as well a bit. So the one thing we didn't really cover here, which you might want to actually do, and I don't know if you've done this, but you've got your specific landing page just for the mini course, right? I presume it's under that link, I will teach you to travel.
It still needs some work.
What I would suggest you do, obviously, that's a blog post, so you've just, or a blog page, and you obviously could expand on what you've got there and improve that page. But you may actually want to register a completely new domain name and get a completely new landing page there. The whole point being is just to make it so it doesn't sit within your blog design. It's okay if you do keep it a blog page, but the good thing about having a page like that is you can actually have traffic go directly to that page without necessarily distracting them with all the other elements of your blog. There are times where you want to do that. For example, obviously for affiliates, but you have to have some sort of payment system. You're selling something after the fact. But even not with affiliates, just even linking to it within your own blog posts now and then, it's more effective that way. It can start ranking in search engines. You might even start doing some article marketing or some specific campaigns that just sends traffic directly to that opt-in form rather than the blog. It's nice to have it. That's why I have blogmastermind.com, which gives away the blueprint as well as the opt-in form on my blog. It's just so much more focused. And I'll tell you the truth, I get more leads from that dedicated blogmastermind.com opt-in than I get from the blog. And that's simply because the blog has a ton of distractions on it. So obviously I want to improve my rate too. That's why I'm going to use a pop-up. But just have that available, a separate landing page.
Okay. And I guess just use normal HTML as opposed to WordPress to do it?
Yeah, you can. I think that's certainly the way I do it, and most people I know do it. Gideon, I think you can actually use Thesis and strip away the header and the footer, so you could still use the blog content management system to do it still, but I just don't know. Like, I've never done it that way. And you could certainly, I think there's a new theme coming out from Unique Blog Designs called the Squeeze theme, which perhaps, I can't remember, but I believe it might be able to do something like that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, with the Thesis theme, not sure about the header and footer, but you can, well, because I haven't looked for it, but you may be able to do that as well. But definitely for sure you can remove the sidebar from any page you want. So that just means there's less distractions on that page. But still, like Yara was saying, if you have a dedicated page to that, you will likely have better results because, I mean, with an opt-in page, you really only want people to do one thing. This is another way actually to look at getting opt-ins. Everything you do only for one purpose, and that is to get people to enter their first name and email address and to click on that button. That is the only real purpose you want for that page. And so as such, you craft the words that you're using, you craft your offer, everything is really focused towards that one thing. And that also means that you don't have any other links on that page. There's only one thing they can do on that page. So if you're using a blog page for that, you'll then, of course, have the normal menu structure at the top as well. Now, I'm not sure with Thesis whether you can get rid of that as well just for that page. You may be able to, but I mean, it's pretty straightforward just to hire someone to create a simple one-page or HTML page for you that's just really nice and focused with no other links on that page, and that'll definitely increase your opt-in rate as well.
Okay, I think that sounds good. Fantastic info. Can I ask one more question?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I have one other site. That one is actually a specific niche. It's at passrider, passrider.com. And quite the opposite of Cruise and Altitude, these users are actually opting in. The issue I have is that they're not confirming. So they opt in, and then I send a confirmation email, and Arab says they've sent them, but I have like 200 and something people that have gotten the confirmation email, but they haven't confirmed.
Okay, let me ask you this. What is the next page that people see immediately after they enter their first name and email address and click on submit?
There is a thank you page, and it says, let me see if I could get the, it says...
What's the URL again?
Oh, it's Passrider, PASSRIDER.com.
We're signing up to your newsletter.
Okay.
I can see the thank you page. All right. Okay. There's a number of things you can do here to increase your opt-in rate here. One thing is to make it very, very, very clear on this page that people need to confirm the email address. So it's good that you have the thank you, please check your email now, but they won't necessarily know that they need to confirm the email address. So in your headline there, make it very bold and bright and beautiful that they need to confirm the email address before they can receive any information from you, and make it clear to them that if they do not confirm that, they won't be able to get access. Now, another way that you can improve on your conversion rate here is to have a little video there, a little screen capture video, very short, just 1 minute, where you tell it and it autoplays where you tell people, hi, you welcome and say, hey, thank you for signing up. There's just one more step before you can get access. It's absolutely critical that you confirm your email address to be able to get access. If you don't confirm, you know, you're not going to get access. And you can just use something like screener.com. It's free. Create a little video there. Then upload that video to YouTube and then paste the YouTube code in here. And the reason I say that is because with YouTube, you can set it to autoplay. And if you just Google autoplay YouTube video, it'll show you what bit of extra code to add there. And so whenever someone comes to this page, when they sign up, this video will start automatically playing, and you know for sure that they'll get that message and that it's very clear to them that they need to confirm. So there's two things. I actually talked to AWeber this morning because I'm interested in increasing that rate too, because we're getting about 20% of people that don't confirm, which that according to them it's normal, but I mean I would like it if if everybody confirms, you know, that is my deal.
I agree.
Perfectionist.
if you're getting 100 signups a day, you know, that's 20 people that's not confirming for whatever reason. So in a year's time, that's a bucket load of people. So anything little that you can do to improve that is huge. So the other thing that they told me was to make sure on that page that you tell people to very clearly add your from email address to their email program, so that it doesn't go into the spam folder. Because that's the other thing I think that's happening in our market. Our emails get sent, but they don't even see the confirmation email. It just goes straight to the spam folder. And so it's important to point people towards that as well. So you can do that inside the email too. And the other thing I would do on that page is to, if you can at all, remove any other links and any other distractions, so that it's once again just really focused, giving them that one message. So like the Google ads and the banner, if you can, just get rid of it on that page.
Fair enough. Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay.
I got work to do now, right?
Sure.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Is anything else you wanted to add, Yara?
No, I think you covered the really main points there. The most important thing is to make sure they understand that they're not going to get it unless they convert. So step one, enter your name and email. Step two, confirm. If you do not do step two, you will not get this amazing free report where I teach you how to do this, and this. So.
Right.
Yeah, actually, one thing we're just starting to do now as well is we're actually telling people beforehand, you know, using video with our when we sell our free stuff, as we say beforehand, you know, okay, what you got to do, enter email and a first name and email address. And very importantly, you need to confirm your email address, otherwise you're not going to get access. So we say that both beforehand and afterwards, and to try and increase the awareness that people really need to confirm the email address. And then definitely also to tell them that, you know, create that, play that fear trigger. If they don't confirm, they don't get any information. So play on that that emotion.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you ever so much, and looking forward to building a membership site from Yara. Thanks again.
Yeah, awesome. I'm looking forward to it too. Thank you.
All the best. Okay, moving on. We've got some questions inside the forum still. Let's move on to the next question there. All right, message from Wally. Hi, Yara. Can't make to the call, so I'm asking my question here. What is considered a good email CTR or click-through rate? When you broadcast via AWeber, what is your typical click-through rate for the links contained in an email? I know it varies from email to email, but generally speaking, what is your average CTR for a broadcast email sales pitch? And also, what is your average CTR for a broadcast email providing content? Very cool question. I'll leave that one to you, Yaro.
Thanks, Gideon. Welly, okay, this really depends on your marketplace. I can talk about mine because obviously that's the only one I have data on for click-through rates. I can tell you that my click-through rates are somewhere between 2 and 10%. That's based on the entire number of emails sent, usually to my full list. Obviously, you can get a higher click-through rate when you're sending it to a small sub-list, but most of my marketing goes to my full list. So that's obviously good in some markets, terrible in others. You'll have some people in the internet marketing space that they're happy if they can get to 5%. I will say that, you know, you got to think about this. If you can only get 5% of the people to click a link and you've only got 2,000 people on your email list, you're not actually getting that many people to go to the page. I have in excess of, I think my last mass broadcast went to 60,000 people. And that's just email. It doesn't include blog posts. So when I have 5% of 60,000 people, then it's a little bit more significant. That's when you can get, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, even as many as 10,000 people going to a page. And it increases over time too. You know, within the first 24 hours, the click-through rate might be 2% or 3%. And then over the next week, it ends up climbing all the way up to 7 or 8 or 9%. That's probably low in terms of if you look at the entire world of email click-through rates. I'd say it's probably slightly better than average in the internet marketing space where there's just so much noise, it's ridiculous. And of course, the better your relationship connection with your people on your list, the higher your click-through rate will be. And also, let's not forget the age of your list as well. My list is quite old now for some of them. So even though I'll have 35,000 people on my main blog group blueprint list, some of them joined 4 years ago, and they're not even, those email accounts aren't being read anymore. So that will make the click-through rate be small, will lower comparatively because it's taking into account the total number of emails sent, where 20% of the people receiving those emails don't even check that email account anymore. So it's difficult to really be too focused on the click-through rate. I find I actually look more on results. I want to see sales. So that's what I go by as the most important metric. People in other niches, though, they can get click-through rates. I know, I don't know what you get with yours in the Free Magic Live niche, but I remember in Fran with the acne niche, she was getting 20, 30% click-through rates. And I think I've heard some people in other niches where they're not bombarded by email or they've got a very fresh list they've just started building, and they only send content out and very few, any, you know, marketing promotions, they can get 50% click-through rates, and that sort of, which is very good. So I think the industry average will definitely be under 10%. So everyone should bear that in mind. When you're building your email newsletters, you know, just because you get to 3,000 subscribers, all 3,000 people won't click the link. You know, you're going to get 20% who opens the email and 5% who click it. So it's, that's why it can take a bit of time before you start getting the response that you like. And I'll leave it over to you, Gideon.
Yeah, it's very true. And also, you know, what Yara mentioned about the age of your list is very important too. So the older your list gets, it just naturally becomes less responsive. So keep that in mind. To give an example, the Free Magic Live thing, at the beginning we had click-through rates of over 50%. And now it varies between, you know, 30% and 40% around about there, and sometimes a little bit, you know, like between 10% and 30%. Depends on the title of the subject that you use and the offer that you have in the email. But that's why it's so important to really focus on keeping on getting new leads coming into your business, new fresh leads, because they're going to be the people who click at the beginning. And as they become older, as they absorb your material more, as they realize they need to move on, they start clicking less. So it's just, that's just how it is. All right, next question. Now I'm just having a quick look. Oh, there is a question. Oh, maybe I didn't close it. I don't see any questions inside the conference, my web controls. I'm hoping that the hand raising function is working. If you want to ask a question, it's just press the star key and then the 9 key, and that should show your hand being raised. But I don't see any hands raised at the moment, so I'm just going to move on to the next question inside the forum. Let's just see. All right. Hi, Yara and Gideon. I'm a Blog Mastermind Premium student. Maybe it's become a blogger one.
Combining programs. The membership Blog Mastermind Premium Program.
It's also confusing. Right. So I'm a premium student who's just set up my blog this week to celebrate my birthday and my induction into the 50 Plus Club. Health, wealth, fitness, and beauty are the areas I want to focus on within my blog. I'll be setting up AWeber next month as my autoresponder. In terms of a free report to offer to build my list, I need some guidance on the best approach or topic to cover in this report based on my blog's focus. My blog's voice is another issue. Should I create blog posts covering my day-to-day challenges, or should I create blog posts covering things I have firsthand knowledge of or have experienced, for example, health issues I have suffered from, like chronic back pain, sciatica, if you pronounce it that way, diabetes, weight gain, strokes, etc. And how can I monetize my blog if I cover several different topics? And then there's a final question as well. But let's just go back to the first question. In terms of a free report to offer to build my list, I need some guidance on the best approach or topic to cover in this report based on my blog's focus. All right, first thing there is to figure out what is the pain? What is the problem that you're trying to solve here? And be very specific. The only way that you can be specific is to find out from your audience, what is it that's bothering them? What is it that's causing the most pain in their lives right now and that you can solve? And that then becomes the title or the theme of your report. We basically tailor that report to help solve that biggest pain, that biggest frustration, that biggest need. That's critical. If you just create a general information type report, people might sign up for it, but you know, they're going to go, meh, whatever, and move on. But if you can create something that's of real value where they go, wow, this has really helped me in my life. It's solved this problem that I've been wanting to solve for ages now. Guess what? They're going to be telling all their friends about it. And you're going to get replies from people saying, wow, I can't believe I got this for free. This is the kind of response you want to get from people. So the way to do that is to hang around in your niche, the health, wealth, and fitness and beauty areas. That health, wealth, fitness, and beauty, I mean, there are four huge niches there. So you'll need to really focus in on either one of them or one aspect of one of them and get to know that audience. Get to know them really well. Hang out in the places where they hang out. Go to the forums where they hang out and just listen. Ask questions and figure out what it is that they're struggling with. And you'll start seeing recurring problems, recurring trends. And you may find that other people have already started trying to solve those solutions. And maybe you can put your own twist on it. And that becomes the emphasis of your report. So that's what I would do if I'm just getting started in an industry like that. Yarrow.
Yeah, okay. I think the caution you have to be here is you're trying to be a jack of all trades to a certain market. As Gideon said, health, wealth, fitness, and beauty are all large topic areas that if you attempted to service every single niche there, you're going to be struggling to define yourself as a specialist or create any authority. What you could do, and you've got two options. If you want to definitely cover all those categories, you're really going to be looking more at a magazine-style blog where you have potentially more than one writer. So each writer can focus on a specific area and they can be the expert in that area. So if that's something you want to do, that's fine. It will make the free report issue a little bit more difficult, and you may actually have four free reports, one for each category. What I do recommend, though, if that's obviously something you can't do, if it is just you and you're a one-person show, you're better off picking one specific aspect within those four areas, just one, and just dominate that. I know it's tempting to try and be the jack of all trades and have a great one-stop shop for all these things, but that's usually the domain of very large publishing companies that have staff writers and can maintain a content production schedule that's way beyond one person. If you pick just, you know, money for 50 plus people or fitness just for 50 plus people, or maybe even a very specific aspect of it, like weight loss for those over 50 or all those topics you covered before, maybe just chronic back pain or just diabetes. Once you've got that focus, it's like a laser pointer. You know, you can cut through something with a laser so much easier than, you know, pointing lots of little tiny knives all over the place. So what you want to do here, and this will tie right back into the free report, if you pick chronic back pain as the problem you're going to focus on, then you know the answer to what your free report is about. It's going to be how to fix chronic back pain for 50 plus people, or maybe just chronic back pain in general. And then look how much easier it is to decide that. The answer is right there in your face. So I know it's often challenging when you first enter a market and you see so many aspects you could provide help in, and you want to help, you know, everyone in that category with every problem they've got. It's just not realistic if you're one person. Now, I've often thought about this even with what I do. You know, I write specifically on how to make money blogging, but I could also talk about how to do email marketing. I could also talk about how to do product launches. I could also talk about how to do membership sites. And what I had to do when I first decided, okay, I'm going to write a free report, I got to stick to the one thing that I can do the best at and have the most proof at right now. That was blogging. So I created a report on how to make money blogging. As I grew my business, I was able to finish off those projects and move on to something I was doing next, which in this case was membership sites. But still, my main identity is tied into that professional blogger branding in the marketplace. And I will continue to promote that because that's my greatest point of differentiation. So although in terms of blog content, I can write all over the place in the internet marketing niche, the free report has to be very focused. So it is how to make money with a blog. And that will always be the most effective in terms of conversion for me. So it's an important point, especially for you people just getting started in this industry. Be a specialist. In most cases, is the best path.
Absolutely. I'm just going through Rich Heffron's business growth program, and you know, he's really hammering that through. Be a specialist. You know, people go to specialists more than they go to general practitioners. When they have a specific problem, they go to the specialist. They don't go and see the general guy. So very, very important. And you know, if you can carve out a niche for you and you become known as the go-to guy, go-to person, go-to girl for that area, that's powerful. If you're seen as the leader, if you're perceived as the leader, that's very, very powerful. And you can get to a stage where you can, you know, build a massive following, or even if it's not that massive, but have a very, very loyal and strong following who wouldn't mind spending money with you. Because think about it, who would you rather spend money with? Someone that you know is the expert, or someone that's just like a general person that knows a little bit about everything? You're always going to go to the expert, spend money with them because you trust them. So that's a very, very important lesson. The next question there. So I'm hoping that answers your question about your blog's content as well. So, you know, what Yara was saying is that basically be very specific with your free report, but with your blog, you can have a bit more freedom with what you write to help you gain traffic from different areas. But still, it's got to be focused. You know, health, wealth, fitness, and beauty, that's four very huge and very different niches. So think about that. Final question here is from this person, is how can I make my blog sticky and create a community of followers? Well, basically what we've just said, that's the beginning point, is to figure out that niche first, solve the problem for them. If you do that and you get your blog in front of people who are interested in that stuff, they're going to want to come back. But there are other things you can do as well. One that we teach, which is just massive, and I noticed that you're going to do that already next month, is to set up a newsletter or a way that people can sign up for something so that you can get in touch with them over and over again. So that means sticky, they keep on coming back. How do you do it? You grab the contact details and you contact them over and over. So that's one way. The other way is just to treat them real well. You know, it's what I learned from Darren Rouse when I interviewed him. And also, what's his name? Chris Garrett, sorry.
G, Magical G?
Not Magical G, Chris G. Both of them say the same thing. Treat your existing followers really well. You know, respond to them in the blog comments. Answer their questions. You know, find out from them what they want. You know, treat them like royalty. And, of course, they're going to come back then, because they know they get treated well when they come and visit your place. Now, if you really want to take us to the next level, have a read of Malcolm Gladwell's Tipping Point, where he talks about one of the strategies to help you get to that tipping point for whatever you want to do. And he talks about the stickiness factor. And maybe this is what you were thinking about when you wrote this question, but he talks about some stickiness factors there, and he uses some pretty amazing examples that you can have a look at as well. Okay. Anything else you want to add to that, Yara?
Nope. All good, Gideon.
Awesome. Okay, there's another question inside the control area. Here we go.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hi. I feel like I'm talking to rock stars right now, but...
Trust me, I can't sing or play an instrument, so...
Okay. My question is, trying to phrase this right. When you're starting out like a website type thing and you're wanting to do the membership thing, is it easier to like start the blog part first than like do a membership site or just like completely get everything done at first type thing? I don't know.
Yeah, it's relative to what resources you have. If you're really starting from nothing, there can be different ways to go about this. Are you inside Membership Site Mastermind?
Not yet.
Okay.
Still
one of the things I talk about there, there's a couple of paths to, basically your main goal here is to establish a platform so that you can do a membership site. And by that, I just basically mean two things. You've got traffic and you have some form of relationship with that traffic so they trust you. I call it preeminence inside the coaching program, which just means you're viewed at as a trusted expert so that they actually will buy from you. So that's the relationship part. And the traffic part is just having people. So when you put a message out there, they actually get it. And that's often the biggest challenge for everyone is getting enough traffic. So the ways you can do this, you can use a blog and slowly over time write to it. Build up your traffic, build up your trust, build up your preeminence, build up your relationships with them first, if that's the way you want to go about this. Obviously, that's the way I've done it. That's the way most of our students do it as well, because they usually go through our blogging programs first. But that's not the only way. You can choose to, Rich Sheffern is a great example of this way. You can actually coach people or form a relationship with people who have an audience. So in other words, find the potential joint venture partners who have access to a lot of people who would make good customers for what you do, and do something for that leader, that expert, so that they then promote your course or your membership site once it's ready to go. So Rich Sheffern did this before he was known as an internet marketing expert. He actually went and presented on stage at an internet marketing event on the subject of basically systematizing your internet business so you're not doing everything, the sort of things he talks about in the Internet Business Manifesto. And he presented on stage and then he said, I'm looking for a small group of clients to do a beta of a coaching program around this area. And I don't know how many people he signed up, but he signed up some of the heavy hitters in internet marketing. These are people who had lots of large email lists, and Rich didn't have one yet. So he coached those people, they got great results, and I think about a year later, he then went to the market and released the coaching program to the whole general internet marketplace using those relationships. And all the people he previously coached, well, maybe not all of them, but a majority of them promoted the launch of his program because they trusted him, they benefit from him as a coach. And within the space of a week, he had instantly created a 30,000 strong email list. And he had, I think it was ridiculous, he already had a business that was doing about $2 million a year or $3 million a year turnover just from that membership site from all the people who had joined. So he did that without having any status in the market. He just leveraged his past clients to get that status and to get that traffic. But not everyone can do that because they don't have clients, so they don't have the access to joint venture partners. Excuse me. So you do need to decide where you're at now, how that can best be leveraged. And for a lot of people, it's a case of, well, I'm going to slowly prove myself through releasing great content, building an email list of my own, building a blog readership of my own, and then launching my membership site. And there's one more option. You can buy traffic as well. So you can go to Google AdWords, do pay-per-click traffic, spend some money to drive that traffic to some kind of opt-in page, get those people onto a list, and then do a launch to them. That's another avenue. So basically, you can do it by creating content, you can do it by leveraging relationships you have with key partners, or you can do it by buying traffic, or you can combine all three, or two or three. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
No problem.
Cool. Great question. All right. Moving on to the last person in the forum for their questions. Okay. Hi, Yara and Gideon. This is Rupa from Atlanta. Hi, Rupa. Thank you both for all the guidance you offer. It's really great. I probably won't be able to make it to the call, but thanks for answering the questions. Very helpful. I started my blog, babylovesbooks.com, about 4 months ago, right after signing up for Become a Blogger. I haven't been too prolific. Some weeks I post a few times. Sometimes I go without posting for days. But overall, I'm happy with my topic and I see the potential. My questions. Number one, my blog is about the benefit of reading to babies, tips on reading aloud, age-appropriate book recommendations, etc. I've been writing some pillar articles, how-tos, some lists, and some book reviews. When I do these reviews or tips, I sometimes link to sites like Amazon or Barnes & Noble where those books may be available or some parenting sites. I'm wondering, is this a good thing to do, providing useful outgoing links, or am I just sending a few people who do visit my blog away to other sites? So let's answer that one first. I think it depends. If you're sending people to valuable resources, but you've already built up some kind of a relationship with them, they're going to come back to your blog no matter what. So, and you know, like we talked about before with one of the previous forum questions was, you know, how do you make your blog sticky? How do you get people to come back? If you follow the right principles that we teach and you build your own email list, you don't have to be scared when you link to other websites, especially if those websites are relevant and helpful to your audience. Because remember, if you provide helpful stuff to your audience, they're going to love you for it. And they're going to remember you and say, oh yeah, this is, I want to keep coming back to this place because they give me helpful resources. So, but it is important to build your own relationship with it, that those people first, otherwise they'll kind of forget about you and just get focused on the other thing. So it's a balance you've got to keep. Obviously you don't want to just only link to other websites. But I mean, if you do find something useful, like sounds like you have with doing those big book reviews on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, I can't see that as a problem. Yaro.
Yeah, I think the answer to your question is yes and yes. Yes, it could potentially be leaking your members away. And yes, it's also a good thing to do, though, because it's a form of monetization. The only thing you really need to worry about, though, is you're not just writing book reviews, and actually, no, that can be okay too. I shouldn't be so stern with that. What I recommend is you create content, like Gideon said, to keep your members, as well as create content that potentially drives them away to affiliate offers. So have some standalone value that your blog offers and understand what your monetization strategy is too. So, you know, if you just write book reviews and your goal is to write 3 book reviews a week, 4 book reviews a week, and then at the end of a year, you'll have, you know, 600 or 700 book reviews, maybe more. Sorry, that's a bit too many. Maybe 150 book reviews, it's more likely, at the end of a year. And all of them are ranking well in search engines and you're getting, you know, 5 visitors a day to each book review. That's 500 visitors a day almost. And we'll probably know more than that. Doing bad math today, it's probably about 650 readers a day. And 2% of them are going through and clicking an affiliate link and buying some books, then every day you're making money from it. That's the strategy. So you just got to understand what your strategy is here. You sound a lot like I did during my first year. I was like, well, do I want, bearing in mind my first year of blogging, I didn't have an email list. I didn't have a very specific strategy. I was just writing content. So I didn't know, should I write affiliate reviews all the time? Should I write content articles with no monetization strategy and just build my traffic? Should I be maybe put, you know, just trying to make as many people come to my blog and have them click my banners to leave? I wasn't sure. So cement your strategy and the answer to these questions become obvious.
Two. Very cool. Second question, traffic. How little is too little? And how exactly do I read those Google Analytics numbers? I'm embarrassed to even say them out loud. They're so low. About 55 unique visitors, 235 page views. Is that for the whole 4 months? So am I doing something drastically wrong or just not enough of the right things? I tweet a bit about what I write, some Izan article writing, a few forum postings, and that's it. First of all, make sure you check the right numbers inside Google Analytics. You can actually set the date range for when you want to look at your unique visitors. So I'm not sure what your particular account will default to when you just log in. Sometimes it may just default to the last month or maybe the last week, depending on how you have the settings. But if you look, I think it's towards the top right, you can change the date range for your statistics. And it should provide you with a graph of your the visitors to your website. And when you hover over the graph, you'll be able to see how many visitors you got for those particular days. So have a look at that first. If your visitors are very low, you may need to look at some other ways of getting your content in front of the faces of people who are interested in your material. So you said you've done Izan article writing, forum postings, and that's about it. Have you thought about using something like YouTube or any of the social media sites? Look for places where there's a lot of traffic. Have you tried guest posts? Guest posts works for blogging and it also works for something like YouTube. If you can find someone on YouTube in that industry, I was thinking Baby Loves Books. There may be, I haven't looked this up, but there may be a quite a nice baby niche type of activity on YouTube. If you can find someone else there with a big audience, see if you can interview them and see if you can get that interview up on their channel, especially if they're a partner, and that'll drive some more traffic back to your site. There's a whole bunch of things you can do. First have a look at whether you're actually seeing the right traffic to your site. Okay. Nothing else to add there, Yara?
Well, I can talk about traffic forever, but I don't want to overwhelm Rupa either. So I think just like Gideon said, just keep doing what you find is working the best for you and just keep doing that, especially the content writing. That's the most important thing. If there was an area where you might need to work on is perhaps your headline writing for your blog content, really try and do some two things. Study good headline writing. We obviously cover that a bit in some of our courses. You can go and do some Google searches. Copyblogger.com is a great blog for helping with headlines. And don't forget the keywords as well. So think about a little bit of keyword research when you're writing some of those reviews would be very helpful, as that will help bring the search traffic in for those subjects as well. But most of the case, it's a situation of being consistent and persistent with your content production, providing value there. And then, like Gideon said, lots of little additional effort you can do to market your content outside of just writing. Your writing to your blog is helpful, but you do have to get out there and tell people about it, especially early on.
Next.
That's it. All right. Next question. I didn't spend too much time or thought on selecting the theme initially. I just chose one I liked at first glance. It was simple and clean and looked like something I could handle. But I'd like to know what your opinion is on these free themes in general and the particular one I'm using. What can I do? What can't I do with this? And besides thesis and affiliate theme, is there anything else you recommend for beginners who don't have a money stream yet? Thank you so much. Just having a look at your blog here, that seems to be a pretty popular theme. I've seen a lot of people use the same theme there. I don't particularly like that theme too much because, especially for people with larger screens, and when they have it on full screen, it's the text area is really wide. So it makes it really hard to read the information on that particular theme. So I normally pick a theme that has a narrow column design. And that just means that your columns are set width. You can sometimes decide how wide you want them. I know with thesis you can. And that just makes it easier for people to read and absorb your information. And if they find it easy to read and absorb your information, then they are more likely to come back and interact with your site. But in terms of themes for your blog, that, I mean, that theme, I've seen people use it successfully. You know, if you do want to take it to the next step up, thesis would be my recommendation. Affiliate theme could work as well, although I haven't used that too much, so I can't say too much about it. But thesis is a great theme. I'm using it now in all my blogs. We're getting really, really good results for search engine rankings. And it's just really cool. It's just all optimized for that. And what's great with thesis is that you can change the look of your blog at any stage without affecting your search engine settings. Sometimes when you change themes, it could affect your search engine optimization, depending on how you do it. But with, of course, with the thesis theme, the advantage is that you only change the custom style sheet file, which doesn't touch your any other part of your theme. So I would recommend going to something like that if you're serious about blogging. It's only about $100 or something like that, and it's really worth it in my view. And then, of course, if you want to take it to the next level up, is to actually get someone to design it for you. But it sounds like you're not quite there yet. But yeah, it depends how serious you are about your blogging. Just to come back to the Magic Blog, we've made a little bit of money from there with the test promotion we did, but we haven't monetized the blog yet. The strategy is to only monetize it now after 6 months, now that we've built up an audience. But, you know, we spent the money on the thesis theme there for that because it's really worth it and it helps us get nice rankings in the search engines. So that'd be my recommendation. Okay. It doesn't look like there's any other questions inside the control area. I'm just going to check the chat room to make sure there are no other questions, that people can't raise their hands or anything like that. It doesn't look like it. It's probably a good time for us to bring this call to an end. Yara, was there anything else that you wanted to say before we close off this call?
No, I did actually see a hand go up while you were talking before. I'm not sure if that person gave up or had to run off somewhere else. I don't know if we want to give them one more shot or not. I don't know who it was. It was a number. So,
yeah, if you're having trouble raising your hand, just let us know in the chat room. We're keeping an eye on that.
But other than that, no, I don't have anything else to add. I've been watching the chat room a little bit, so there's some people helping other people there, which has been really good to see. And lots of good forum questions this call I found. So that's also been great too. So yeah, like the people who asked today, if you can't make these calls live, you are welcome to leave the questions in the forum and we can respond as we have been on this call. It's a great way to get your questions answered and then just listen to the recording after the fact.
Absolutely. All right, doesn't look like there's any other questions or any hands raised. So we're going to bring this call to the end. What I'm going to do is unmute the line and then as is custom, get everyone to say hi and say your website address or anything funny. It's up to you.
Nothing rude.
Yeah, nothing rude. Okay, so I'll unmute the line now.
Thanks, guys. It's been real.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for all that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.